often say that when the United States sneezes, the rest of the world catches the flu. And this is exactly it.
All right. I see Sheila for now. Thanks, Wandile.
Okay. Thank you very much.
It's nothing personal. It's just taking care of business on Raz FM.
The APSA Business Agility Series was proudly brought to you by APSA. We do more so you can. That's Africanacity.
APSA's Managing Executive for both Mpumalanga and KZN, Ronnie Mbazane, is with us again this evening as we profile another business owner who has survived the repercussions of the pandemic thanks to APSA Bank. Now, Ronnie, who are we chatting to this evening?
No, thank you so much, Zingisa, and again, appreciate this opportunity to talk to the listeners in this series of, agility. Today, we are very, very lucky to have a very successful woman-led business, Uthembelihle Mtshali, who runs a business in the Highveld in Mpumalanga, and have really done well in terms of managing, their business with Mpho Mtshali, who have combined for 20 years running a very successful business. And again, today we want to showcase, real life stories of themselves in terms of how they've maneuvered the situation within COVID. And I hope that it's going to, inspire some of the clients that bank with us.
Now, Uthembelihle Mtshali, who owns TL Ideas Trading, is with us this evening. Welcome to Taking Care of Business on Rise FM, Uthembelihle.
Thank you, and hello to everyone.
Now, could you tell us a bit about yourself? Who is Uthembelihle, and what exactly is your business all about?
Okay. Uthembelihle Mtshali is a black woman from the Mpumalanga province, managing director and of TL Ideas Trading, a black woman-owned company based in Mpumalanga province in the Malahleni municipality with offices in Witbank and Oagis.
Mm.
Founded in the year 2013, the company founders are myself, Uthembelihle Mtshali, alongside Mbongani Mtshali, with a combined experience of over 20 years business management experience in the supervision of various contracts, projects under various companies. We have been extensively involved in the construction industry through the Expanded Public Works Program in Kangala District. We're also involved in scrap metal recycling, ferrous and non-ferrous metals, waste management at various mines and power stations. Furthermore, we have also been involved in the industrial and domestic cleaning in the mining sector and general supplies at mines and power stations.
Mm.
And
maybe just for the benefit of our listeners, I think you've actually covered it a bit, but what does your business do and how does it add value to your customers?
Okay. Our business is mainly involved in waste management and industrial cleaning, right? So waste management, basically covering our general waste, your domestic waste, hazardous waste, your industrial and scrap metals, right? We're also involved in industrial cleaning, so which these two obviously do go hand in hand in some instances as we clear up sites, certain sites, then the certain waste that's generated, therefore the waste needs to be disposed of. Yeah, that's the short summary of it. And basically the value that we actually add to our customers is as directors of the company, we have a hands-on approach with our clients, making us fairly accessible and easy to reach, therefore providing our clients with prompt, speedy, and efficient service.
That's a sure thing, but how did you start and what inspired you to venture into that sector?
It has always been a dream of mine to be a self-employed woman, right? From a tender age, the passion for running the business was realized while I was still in school. My mom had a spaza shop during my primary school years, and she did a lot of handwork, where my sister and I would also be selling like your head pieces that she would like sew herself, you know, going door to door in our neighborhood, selling those off. Also during my high school years, I would buy chips and sweets, you know, like your vendors at outside of school, especially attached school, those ladies who sell there, I would sell something similar.
Mm.
But inside school premises, you know, which helped a lot, you know, at home, the finances that I brought in helped also my parents, you know, to make ends meet. Mm. After completing my high school, my parents didn't have a lot of money to ensure that I furthered my tertiary education. I then took a gap year and did retail work, then registered the following year for a marketing diploma. It was during this time when I registered my first company doing some supply work for power stations. Obviously, this was financially taxing and extremely costly, as one needed to have funds available to always ensure you supplied your orders promptly without delays. This was a tough period for me, having to go through school, work at the same time.
Yeah.
6 years later, I then met my husband and business partner. We both shared the same passion to be self-employed and create sustainable employment and business opportunities. Coming from different backgrounds, obviously, and running different businesses from both our families, you know, also on a small scale. My husband had an engineering background, and his business was involved in buying and selling of scrap metal.
Mm.
He then persuaded me to join him and then for us to pursue scrap metal projects and contracts. He took me everywhere and taught me all that I know about scrap metal industry today. He also put me like in the deep end, allowing me to do presentations for potential clients. Actually, that really impressed some of our corporates as they found it quite fascinating to see a young black woman involved in what we then termed a mafia business at the time. Both our families obviously were involved in various businesses, such as construction. On both sides of the family, there's a lot of construction businesses, taxi industries as well, that the families were both involved in. The love of having a clean environment and collecting waste and generating an income out of that grew stronger in us. We then decided to put our full focus on growing our brand and putting our own stamp in this very vicious industry. We managed several contracts at power stations and some mining houses. Then in 2013, we decided, okay, let us now, you know, start this new venture, which is PLIBS Trading. Out of the love of waste management, we wanted to grow our company to become a total waste management company, dealing in various waste streams and industrial cleaning. The idea really came about when we realized that nothing is actually waste. What people throw away as waste or unwanted material, we can then turn that into something reusable and generate an income to support our growing family and also help many families, you know, to put food on their table to sustain their households as well.
And for those of you who have just tuned in, we are chatting to TL Ideas Trading owner, which is Thembelihle Mtshali, on how EBSA helped her navigate the after effects of the current pandemic. Now, well, touching on the pandemic, it obviously had some effects on your business. So how did it impact you?
You know what? I can't say I was 100% safe from the pandemic. COVID-19 had a dire impact on most businesses, including us. You know, this has caused like serious strains on many businesses, some having to close their doors as a result of the pandemic. TL Ideas has been very fortunate that even though we were also going through these difficult times and having to work on skeleton staff for some operations, we were fortunate enough that for some of our contracts, we were deemed or termed as essential services. Therefore, we were able to provide still a continued service, but on a limited number of people or limited number of days to obviously avoid the added contact or impact that it, we might also be exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So our number of days, like, reduced from a full working week to minimum two, at the most 3 days a week. And in some operations, we had like a total shutdown where we couldn't provide our clients with the service because mm-hmm. our clients had stopped working for whatever the period was. And yeah, our yard had to cease operating because obviously the material that we would pick up as scrap to bring into our yard would then, you know, have to be sold off.
Mm.
So the markets were a bit challenging. No, most companies were not taking. If they were taking it in little volumes, and it wasn't feasible for us to run the yard and carry the cost of having a full capacity of staff in the yard. So we had to then halt our operations for a little bit. But that was temporarily. So.
Mm. And, you know, you obviously touched on some of the challenges that you faced during that period and some of the changes that you had to do in order for your business to survive. Have you adapted to these new standards that have been obviously put on us by the COVID-19 regulations, what everybody is now terming the new normal?
Yes, look, I believe it is within the best interest of any organization to adapt to this new normal, right? It's given all of us a wake-up call, right? So what we have done is the process has enabled us to improve on our hygiene practices, ensure that we encourage safe practices from our staff, even us as owners of the business, you know, continuously encourage people on cleanliness and good hygiene practices and measures. With all our trucks, vehicles, we try by all means that each truck, when it leaves the yard, it's got its own sanitizing products.
Yeah.
They've got their sanitizers, their soaps, everything. They've got their masks, their gloves. So just to minimize, you know, what's this, the exposure to the pandemic. Yes, we cannot say it's 100% guaranteed, but the little that we are doing to motivate and encourage our staff to ensure that they keep safe at all costs.
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, the business can only survive if the staff are healthy. So for any organization, the staff are the backbone of the business. So the business needs to take care of its own.
Mm.
That is what we are driving to.
And obviously, during the pandemic, you mentioned that, you know, certain things had to be tightened, you know, budgets had to be reworked. Now that we are sort of easing out of lockdown, are you starting to plow back into the business?
Yes, no, definitely.
Mm.
We've done that. We are operational again.
Yeah.
With the easing, it has actually made us now go back to full capacity. Trying to catch up also on lost time, you know.
Mm.
It's not an easy task, but, yeah, we are putting full steam ahead.
Mm. And we are still taking care of business on Rise FM. I'm Zingisa Chirwa chatting to TL Ideas trading owner Thembelihle Mtshali on how Absa helped her navigate the after effects of the current pandemic. How did Absa step in and support or provide some sort of relief for you during these trying times?
Yes, I don't know how to describe the process. You know what, man? I think we need more absence in our lives.
Yeah.
For the, I'm sorry that I'm going to constantly go to the black, you know, color, but for black people, nah? For one to sustain, we need companies that have a bigger vision.
Yeah.
Companies that will have, who support us through difficult times.
Mm.
Companies who understand our business concepts, our livelihood, the sustainability of the business. Absa has pulled through for us.
Mm.
In this difficult period, dealing with them, you know, they've made this whole process way better.
Mm.
You know, that I was able to negotiate with them as well, that look, my agreements, my repayment terms, can they be sort of put on hold?
Yeah.
up until this dies down. And they were willing, they listened, they gave me that, and I got that breather, you know, that some industries, it was very difficult for them to survive. You know, if you don't have somebody that you're going to fall back to and who understand and hear you, then it makes it obviously challenging. And some companies had to shut down completely because they didn't have the structures that I was given within APSA.
And maybe could you elaborate on some of the structures that you were given at APSA, or some of the assistance that you actually received?
Okay. There's a lady by the name of Chantel McKenzie. She is my business banker. Obviously, when the lockdown measures were being introduced and the labels and so forth, I started engaging with her and had intense meetings that this is the situation. We all don't know where we are or where we're going and what's going to happen in the next few months. And I had just been approved, and my equipment had been released in some instances, and the banks needed their money. I hadn't started generating an income to be able to repay the financing that was provided by APSA. But me engaging with Chantel, and she made it so easy for me that we are all going through tough times.
Yeah.
I will speak to the senior powers, and then we will come back to you with feedback. I was really assisted. We need institutions like APSA that take care of small businesses, that take care of people like myself, especially when we're struggling, and that give us solutions and suggestions. They came up with the best tailored solutions for my business. I am still running because APSA was there for me.
And then what practical tips then would you give to other business people who are obviously struggling post the pandemic, well, you know, towards the end of the lockdown? How can they adapt?
Businesses need to ensure that they comply with the COVID regulations. That's first and foremost. Safeguard their staff. Like I said earlier, staff are the backbone of the survival of any organization, and ensuring that we put systems and measures in place is also key to everyone's protection and health and safety. We need to stay focused. It is not an easy process, but we need to make sure that we devise means and measures that will ensure that we are not compromised and our staff are also not compromised.
Okay, and also, so, you know, you've obviously said to us that APSA has done a lot by coming forward and giving you the financial and advice, the support, to be able to ensure that you do survive the pandemic. So there's this TV campaign that they've launched with the slogan, "We do more so you can." When you think about that, what are your thoughts when you hear that?
I can safely rely on APSA for the right products, the right solutions. I can count on APSA to help me with the right business advice, which is what I got from my business banker. I can run my business efficiently with the solutions that were provided to me by APSA during this difficult period. I've managed to keep my staff and employ people to help uplift my local community and create sustainable employment. I'm even considering exporting some of the products thanks to APSA and the accessibility that they've given me and the advice and tools they've given me.
And just to close off, for those listeners who may be in need of your services, well, when it comes to waste management, how can they get in touch? How can they find you?
Okay. Look, I'm not so big. One can find me at Timberlish and Charlie. That's my Facebook page, right? And my website, www.tlideas.co.za.
Thank you so much, Timberlish, for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much.
Still taking care of business on Rise FM, and APSA's managing executive for both Mpumalanga and KZN, Ronnie Mbazane, is back with us. Now, Ronnie, you've heard Thembelihle's story and how APSA's support has assisted her survive the repercussions of the pandemic. I'm pretty sure these are the feel-good stories that remind you that what you offer as a bank is vital.
No, absolutely. I think, you know, Thembelihle's story is one that is very close to us.
Mm.
And I must say, you know, Thembelihle, you know, has also, you know, take advantage of the relief funds that we created as a bank. And as you have heard from her, that she has tapped in terms of our commercial asset funding, where we release liquidity.
Mm.
We did not only do that in terms of support as a bank. We created you know, networks that allowed most of our clients to really talk and access each other in terms of this period, especially in terms of accessing, you know, some markets and potentially diversifying.
Mm.
We created a lot of webinars that were highly, you know, attended by most of our clients in this period, as you know, that we couldn't, you know, manage, you know, businesses on the face-to-face basis.
Yeah.
And we created platforms for most of our clients to talk to our sector specialists and also to be close to our bankers. That has yielded positive results, and majority of our customers were sustained in this period to survive, you know, this pandemic.
All right. I think that's where we'll leave it for this week. But thank you so much, Ronnie, for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much. And I really appreciate it. And I want to say thank you to Thembelihle for really sharing the story. Our role is quickly as APSA that we want to continue supporting the businesses that we serve that has been in partnership with us. And we invite most of our businesses and our clients to engage with our business banking suite to really, you know, get assistance in this field. As we say that we do more so that they can.
Thank you once again, Ronnie.
Thank you.
The APSA Business Agility Series is proudly brought to you by APSA. We do more so you can. That's Africanacity.
Can I? Can I keep my business agile during tough times? With APSA, I can. I can get access to funding, showcase my expertise to new markets, and gain exposure to networking opportunities.
Change the way that you do business. Speak to your business banker or call us on 0800-227-592 to find out how we can support you to keep your business agile. We do more so you can. That's Africanacity. APSA is an authorized FSP and registered credit provider. T's and C's apply.
It's nothing personal. It's just taking care of business on Rather FM.
27 to 7, it's Zengisa Chirwa with Wandile Mazibuko about to jump.